Today on Family Talk.
If you have ever worked for anyone, you can attest to the fact that the intrusion of corruption and deceit in the business world is real, and it seems to be everywhere. Well, today on Family Talk, we're going to take a closer look at how we as Christians must honor God in the workplace. Hello, everyone. I'm Roger Marsh, and this radio broadcast is produced by the James Dobson Family Institute. Now, in just a moment, we're going to revisit a classic interview Dr. Dobson conducted with successful businessman and financial advisor Jim Perry. They will point out the flawed financial and practical decisions many companies make that inevitably sink those businesses. They will also unpack the biblical advice for all businessmen and women working today, and you'll find it in Scripture. The Bible truly has a clear blueprint for how we should conduct ourselves and live a life above reproach. As I think back on nearly 40 years of broadcast ministry and the work that I've done outside of ministry as well, there have been so many times when I've seen this happen, and I've seen it play out in Christian businesses as well as in secular companies too. It is so important to remain faithful and true to those Christian biblical beliefs that God teaches us through His Word. And I hope as you listen to this conversation today between Dr. Dobson and Jim Perry, that you'll hear some important lessons, that you'll start applying them to your work life if you aren't already. Okay, here now is Dr. James Dobson to further introduce our topic and our guest on this classic edition of Family Talk.
What we want to talk about is how people can avoid some of the major pitfalls that company owners and managers typically face. We'll also hear how Scripture provides a blueprint for how to have a successful business. And to help us do that, I've invited my friend and successful businessman, Mr. Jim Perry, to be on the program today. Jim has a master's degree in business administration from Texas Tech University. They still play football, Jim?
They do.
Oh, they do. He's the owner and chief executive of several companies. In fact, I'm going to read his bio. Listen to this. He's, as I said, the owner and chief executive of several companies involved in manufacturing, distribution, and real estate, including the sixth largest U.S. hair color manufacturer. He's served on the board of directors of numerous companies and nonprofit organizations. He's had 16 years as an investment fund manager, 17 years as a turnaround consultant for troubled businesses. He's a former senior vice president and CFO of an insurance carrier, former CPA with an international Big Eight firm, former banking officer with the largest bank in the Southwest. He's a certified public accountant and has a Bachelor of Business from Texas Tech University and the MBA from Southern Methodist University. That means you're a Texan, right?
I am a Texan, yes.
And you told me a few minutes ago that you have been working in business for 39 years?
39 years, yes.
All right, let's go straight for it. You and I had an opportunity to spend an evening together when our wives were involved in a church ladies' function of some sort. I don't know what they were doing. But that gave you and me an opportunity to talk, and I learned a lot from you that day about business. And some of it, frankly, was depressing to me because you were describing how common it is for there to be cheating and corner cutting and failures to follow the law in business, that it's not only common, it's almost universal. Is that an overstatement?
No, that's not an overstatement, Dr. Dobson. Unfortunately, many businesses over the years, they adopt practices or policies that they probably aren't that proud of. We're going to talk about some of those today. We're going to talk about the things that I find. But overall, business seems difficult to a lot of people, running a business. And it can be. It's an awful lot of work. But if you can eliminate the distractions that a lot of these practices, these questionable practices that business owners and managers take, and you can eliminate distractions in that business and focus on the things that the business should be focused on, which is its customers, its suppliers, its employees. You will find that a business that does that does far better over time than a business that cuts corners.
So you're saying that not playing by the rules as a business owner is not only bad for the people you're cheating and affecting, but it's also bad for your business.
It is. Not only does it destroy your business reputation, it compromises your Christian witness.
Now, wait a minute. You're talking about Christians here.
I'm talking about people who would have a Bible on their desk, who would have Bible studies in their offices, and people who would go to church every Sunday. I make no distinction between believers and non-believers because I find these practices in both types of businesses, those that are run by believers and those that are run by non-Christians.
That's kind of sad, isn't it?
I mean,
we say we're committed totally and completely to Jesus Christ, and then when it comes down to money and people, we compromise our witness?
I think what happens a lot of time is people get advice. You know, every business has advisors. There are CPAs, there are attorneys, and they will come to a business owner and say, hey, you could consider doing this or whatever that practice might be. And it even might meet the letter of the law. It might be something that they wouldn't go to jail for. But just because it's legal or barely meets the letter of the law does not make it right. You know, as Paul wrote in Corinthians, there might be practices that are legal. There might be practices that are acceptable in a given day and time. But if they are not helpful to your business reputation and your Christian witness, then you should not do them. You have to remember that everyone watches everyone else. Everyone sees what you do. So when you're running a business and you're entering into some type of a questionable practice, even though it might be something that your CPA recommended or your attorney recommended, your employees see that. Your friends, your family members see that, your suppliers see that, your customers see that, and they form an opinion about you. And your business reputation depends on that opinion that they form. And frankly, your Christian witness depends on it also.
Do you wade into that when you are consulting with a company?
Oh, absolutely. When I was in the consulting business, if we find these practices, we hit it head on. You have to deal with these issues. You have to try to make it right. You have to show a company that they do not need to be doing these kinds of things. They need to play it straight up. They need to be honest. They need to show integrity. And when they do that, their business will be far better off, and the people that work for them will be far more appreciative to see that they did the right thing.
You said at one time that that is the best way to grow a company.
It is. Most of these questionable practices, you know, might save you some short-term money or some short-term expense, make you a little more profit, but long-term, you spend so much time with this as a distraction. You spend so much time cutting corners.
Give me some examples of that.
First of all, one of the biggest things that business owners need to really think about is whether or not to take certain aggressive tax positions. You know, we're always offered the opportunity as business owners that we can maybe, because the law states, our CPAs will say, hey, you could be doing this. Other people might be doing it. It might be common practice.
You're talking about, for example, calling somebody an independent contract.
Well, that is another example. That was the second example I was going to get. But let's use that one because that's an easy one to explain. If you control an employee's hours, then that person that you control the hours for is an employee. You need to be paying payroll taxes. You need to be treating them as an employee. And if they work a certain number of hours and fall under your benefit programs, then you need to be paying them benefits. A lot of businesses will take employees who they control the hours for, and they will treat them as independent contractors. So they may be coming into your offices, working for the set times of 8:30 to 5, or they could even be working off-premise. But if you are controlling their number of hours, that is the key distinction as to whether they are an employee or an independent contractor. Now, if you have a consultant, let's say it's a CPA, and that person does your books, and you are not controlling their hours, you are simply paying them for a service. They might be charging you by the hour. They might be charging you a consulting fee each month. That is a person who you do not control the hours for, an outside CPA, an outside an attorney. Mm. But when you have normal employees who you control the hours for, you should not be paying them as an independent contractor.
You told me of some large Christian organizations, and we won't name them here, but you did, who are doing just that, and it's illegal.
It is illegal. And it's wrong. It's just wrong. And people who know that are disturbed by that. When you see a Christian ministry that I know from the people who work there, they are their hours are controlled. They work 40 to 50 hours a week, every week. They are paid as independent contractors with no payroll taxes of any type being paid by the business and with no benefits being paid to the employees. That is wrong. And that organization, like all Christian ministries, is out soliciting money from donors. I think the donors that find out these things are disturbed by that. If you're going to represent yourself as a Christian ministry, then you have to uphold the principles that we're taught in Scripture.
Jim, I also know that your primary responsibility is to take over businesses that are failing. They're on their way down. And you come in and essentially heal them and get them on their feet. I don't know whether you buy the company, but that's your business doing that. Well, what kinds of things do you look for and do you start changing when you take over?
Well, first of all, that is my business. I used to do it when I worked for the bank. I used to do it when I worked for the CPA firm. I even consulted with a number of companies in the insurance industry when I was CFO of a company in that industry. I then was a full-time turnaround consultant for 17 years, and then for 16 years I was an investment-funded manager, and we purchased companies like that. And I still do that today. I buy distressed businesses, distressed assets, and I go in and I fix those companies. What I find is that in most cases, those businesses were distracted. They've done things they shouldn't do. They're focused on that rather than the business. I find that they have too much debt, and they have managed to get themselves in trouble. We will take care of their debt problem. We will take over that business. And then I go about going through that business literally with a fine-toothed comb and change the kinds of things we see. Now, here's what we typically see. You'll see businesses that, for instance, overcharge their customers. You would think that's not something that you would run into very often, but it is. You'll have a business, they agree to charge certain prices for certain products. They will find a way to put overcharges in there. They'll add expenses. They will cheapen the product. If they're providing a service and it's by the hour, they will pad those hours. And that's one of the big areas where you find businesses literally cheating. And it seems to be rather commonplace. But, you know, if you can't make money legally and legitimately, then you should go find something else to do. So that's one of the first things that we correct.
What percentage of these businesses are salvageable?
I have never lost a business to bankruptcy. I have purchased companies or assets out of bankruptcy, but we have been successful in turning every business around that I've ever been
involved in. Well, what are those principles that you implement that allow you to do that?
Well, the first thing you have to do, we talked about distractions. You really have to eliminate the distractions. And part of those distractions are you have to get rid of these things that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. You have to really look at debt, guarantees, things like that, because you don't want to be taking on things that take up your time, that create problems for you. And you want to get back to the core business. And the core business is you take care of your customers, your suppliers, your employees, and you focus your time and attention on the things that can make you a profit in your core business. Do not get distracted by outside investments. Do not get distracted by outside activities that you don't know a lot about. Do not take on a lot of debt. Do not sign guarantees. joint and several liability. Do not get involved in things like that because those take up your time. And when a business spends a lot of time treating his employees as independent contractors, overbilling customers, they might be claiming woman and minority-owned business status, but they're headed by a white male. You don't do those things. Let's go to Proverbs 28:9 tells us, if anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. We cannot break the law. We are believers. We give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. We give unto the Lord what is the Lord's. I am telling you with almost 40 years of experience of working with troubled businesses, if a business owner or manager will focus on the fundamentals of that business and do it legitimately, they will have so much more success than if they do all these things that are distractions that normal businesses or that many businesses take on. This is prevalent in our business world. I am not talking about examples in 10% of the businesses. I will tell you, in most of the companies that I have been in, and I've already mentioned to you that I've been in several hundred companies personally, I've seen thousands of investment opportunities. In most of the companies that I have been in, I will tell you there is some type of questionable business practice going on in some form or shape of some type. And it's a matter of finding those and getting rid of them. They're like a cancer in the organization. I think businesses start out, maybe they were in trouble, maybe they had an idea to save some money. They take this approach, and then it's addictive. You know, well, let's continue to do this, and now maybe we can shave this corner. They spend so much time shaving corners, trying to make a little extra money, that it corrupts the entire organization. If they will get back to the business that they were in and they will focus on that, in most cases, they will be extremely successful.
Tell me how common this is, where a businessman will be good at something and he starts a business and it goes well and he gets overconfident because what he did succeeded. And he thinks he can be that successful in all kinds of other things not related to his expertise. So he plunges into all this other stuff and hits the skids. Is that common?
That is exactly what happens, Dr. Dobson. We all get bored with what we do. Familiarity breeds contempt. So we have a business. It's chugging along. It's doing well. And we think we're pretty smart. And we do get involved in side activities. We invest in other things. We use the business cash flow to make those investments. In many cases, we take on debt to do these side activities, or we take on debt for our business.
And one kills the other.
One kills the other. That's exactly what happens. And I will tell you this, in most of the businesses that I've gone in and taken over, either as a consultant or where we purchased them or where I purchased them now, I find that there is some percentage, maybe it's not over half, but there is some percentage of that business that are side activities. They have nothing to do with the core business. And in most cases, we get rid of those activities when we turn that business around. Most of the organizations that I go into, they are over-leveraged. What happens is they start out borrowing money, and it might be for legitimate purposes. Maybe they're buying inventory. They are financing their receivables of the business, and that is the money that customers owe them. So they will borrow to take draws against those receivables. Maybe they're building a new factory or a warehouse, or there may be some other problem or some other opportunity that they're investing in. So businesses borrow. That's a function of what you see. The problem that I see is that borrowing money becomes addictive. Many businesses, in fact, I would tell you most businesses never ever pay off their debt. What'll happen is they'll continue to renew their lines of credit each year. They'll continually restructure or refinance that debt, but they never pay it off. And that's the issue. It becomes a normal part of their operations so that as things, maybe they go through a downturn in the business, maybe there's a bump in the economy, and now they have all this debt on their books, and it becomes a real problem for them, and they have to cut back their other operations. in order to try to service the debt, and then it's a never-ending cycle. It just continues going downhill from there. What happens with the lenders is they don't want to lose that loan. They don't want the business to go down, so they continue to increase the amount of the debt, trying to keep it alive, so that when it finally gets to a point where it's going to fail, it has way too much debt on the books. And that's when I would usually see a business. You know, I saw an interview a long time ago when President George H.W. Bush was running against Bill Clinton, and there was a third-party candidate, Ross Perot. You may remember that.
Yes.
And he is a billionaire from Dallas. He's been very successful in several businesses. He was interviewed, and he said the most interesting thing. He said that debt and interest costs are killing the American family. And it's true. Most people, we don't realize how much we spend paying off debt, how much interest is paid. It applies to families and individuals. It applies to businesses, and it applies to large businesses. Just think of this. When you have General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford all in front of a congressional committee asking for bailouts, we have a problem. Debt is addictive. People use it in the wrong way. And in most cases, they shouldn't even have that debt outstanding. And you will find when you find fraud in a company, it's prevalent. If you're overbilling customers, you'll find that many of your salespeople are paid on a commission basis, or maybe they get additional commission income for additional revenues. And once they find out that it's okay to pad those revenues, they're padding them because it then puts bigger bonuses in their pockets. So where you find fraud in an organization, it's prevalent throughout the organization, and it's usually not just confined to a single area. What starts at the top filters down all the way to the bottom.
Business failure creates enormous stress, doesn't it?
It does.
For everybody, but especially the top person.
It does, absolutely.
Now, you ever get involved in one of those businesses and your heart really goes out to some good guy who just made some stupid mistakes?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you I have developed a lot of very close friendships with the businesses that I've been inside of, even those that I might have looked at but did not take an interest in or did not consult with. But many of my consulting clients became very good friends. As we fixed their business, in many cases they had things in their personal life that were not going well, relationships with their spouse, with their children. And I cannot tell you how many of those personal situations that you also find yourself in. You know, you can add an encouraging thought here or there. You can show them how to fix issues, give them some optimism, give them some hope to grab onto. It's amazing how many great relationships you build, not only with the business owner, not only with the management team, the employees, but also their family members.
What a great place to end this discussion. Thank you, Jim. Our guest has been Jim Perry, ultimate businessman and a friend of mine. It's been good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Well, what a practical edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. You know, as Christians, we are to reflect and imitate Jesus in everything we do. And I'll tell you what, his character should especially be evident in the way we handle ourselves at work. Again, I hope you've appreciated the advice passed along today and will implement this wisdom into your own life as well. For guidance on this and other issues you might be facing, be sure to visit Family Talk's blog tab. Go to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the blog tab there. You'll find numerous articles from Dr. Dobson, Dr. Tim Clinton, and many of our past guests as well. You know, our bloggers focus on subjects like parenting and marriage and culture and many, many more topics. So the next time you're looking for relevant and uplifting material online, read a few of our blogs. You can find that content by going to drjamesdobson.org and then clicking onto the blogs tab. Now, while you're on our site, be sure you also check out our helpful Station Finder feature. This tool allows you to see when and where Family Talk is airing across our vast and growing radio network. Click on the broadcast menu, then it'll drop down to the Family Talk radio stations button. From there, you'll see our entire network on an easy-to-use interactive map. Just tap onto your home state to tune into Dr. Dobson today. Take advantage of this useful feature when you visit drjamesdobson.org. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's classic conversation with Jim Perry. They'll continue highlighting a Christian's character in the workplace and some of the immoral practices businesses are implementing. Listen to all that and more coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you so much for listening today to Family Talk, a radio production of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I wanted to take a moment to tell you a little bit about our growing ministry here. It's no secret that our Christian values are under attack, and we must stand up for righteousness and biblical truth unashamedly. We believe this new institute is doing just that. Aside from our Family Talk broadcast, there are three other divisions through which we're continuing this legacy of work. The first one is our educational partnerships with colleges and universities to encourage the next generation. Secondly is the Dobson Policy Center. It keeps you informed on how the political arena influences the family. And lastly is our online collection of all of Dr. Dobson's work in the Dobson Digital Library. We're excited here at JDFI for this expansion. We hope you'll partner with us. Thanks for standing with us, and thanks for being a friend of the family.